you know, we just look at it as like, oh, it's just this one month. But Black history is happening all around us, you know?
We see the U.S. as, you know, as a part of us, because like, I feel like Black history shouldn't, to me, I just feel like it shouldn't be celebrated in just one month. You know, I think like Black history is American history, you know?
You don't have to be a victim of what your circumstances are, because every single person that we usually highlight, they overcame those things and still had that vigor and that fortitude to overcome the trials that were faced before them. And there's a place here waiting for you. For your business.
Yeah, we're on the Lord's time, sharing his love and his life. Welcome everyone to another episode of Brothers in the Foyer. We are your hosts today. I am joined with my brothers, Mo, Christian, Andrew, and Will, who are actually joining us remotely at this time due to inclement weathers here in Utah. We are a podcast where faith meets perspective. And before we get jump into our episode today, I do want to shout out our partners, Serve Clothing. Please visit Serve Clothing. You can use our code FOYERFAM for a discount, and Serve Clothing will get you right with all of your casual and business needs. Today, we are going to be discussing Black History Month and just in general, what Black history is, why it's important to us, and how we can integrate faith into Black history. So, fellas, let's just get right into it and let's talk about what Black History Month is to us and why it's important. What is Black History Month to you, fellas? What does it mean? Like, because this is a deep discussion, right, is in terms of just discussing how history has laid out what America has looked like for African Americans, and depending on where you're from in the country, it can take on a different meaning. So
yeah, so
what is it meant for you guys?
I mean, for me, I think it's I'm from Haiti, so I celebrate Black History. I feel like in a way it's just a way to honor all the achievement, you know, made by a lot of Black people in this country, you know, just kind of remember them, you know, and it's a way to teach our youth, especially like the kids that are growing up, you know, and just trying to tell them about themselves and their heritage and stuff like that. And it's important because, you know, if you forget about history, you know, it will be rewritten somehow, you know, and just growing up in Haiti, you know, we celebrate our history is just like we actually are the first Black countries to gain our independence in 1804. Mm-hmm. We actually are the first ones that, you know, ban racism in our constitution, you know, so it's, we first one to abolish slavery and things like that, you know, so we actually helped the U.S. Haitians actually are a big part of this, big part of U.S., you know, constitution too, because like we helped them gain the freedom. And Haitians, like people, a lot of people don't know, like Haitians, we built Chicago, you know. That's why there's a lot of like a lot of people in the U.S. or Creole, New Orleans and stuff like that, you know. So I feel like Haitians, we're a big part of history too. So me, yeah, that's why I think it's a way to honor all these, you know, like people that did all the stuff for us. It's like a lot of people think it's just about the slavery and pain and stuff, but I think it's all more about the achievement and all the stuff that we accomplished over time and stuff. Yeah.
Most definitely. I'm curious, man, for you, because for here in the U.S., it seems like Black history is, it stays in schools. It's not nearly recognized or celebrated like outside of the educational system in terms of getting the knowledge out there. Mm-hmm. How was it in Haiti? I mean, like, did you guys have like a specific time where, or like your history classes that you learned specific things about Black history, or how was it for you guys?
So for me, like in school, we learn about like, when we study history, we actually study about everything. You know, we learn about Frederick Douglass, Maya Angelou, everybody, the whole, you know, the whole nine yards, you know. So we love history. We love big, you know, like that's why Haitians, like we see the U.S. as, you know, as a part of us, because like I feel like Black history shouldn't to me, I just feel like it shouldn't be celebrated in just 1 month. Mm. You know, I think like Black history is American history, you know, so it's a lot of that coming to it. It's like for a lot of people benefit through it, you know, and
right.
Yeah, so it's the way we learn a lot in, at school. They make you memorize everything, you know. So from Black leaders, what they did and what they were trying to accomplish, and you know, we don't stay silent, you know. So we stay in the sideline, just kind of learning about it. So when we came to this country, you know, I just feel like a lot of times like it kind of fall out in school here, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't really teach it like they're supposed to, you know. So
yeah,
but yeah.
I love it, man. I appreciate that.
Well, I'd say for Black history for me, I feel like it's important. Just kind of what Christian was saying, in that it's not just Black history is American history. It's part of everything that we have. And I technically don't like it that it's just usually a focus on once a month, the shortest month of the year.
Yeah.
But because it kind of makes me feel like it's like history, the American history is like a full movie. And you don't really see all the full scenes of the movie. It's just like little cut scenes, and the main really important parts are just focused in 1 month of the year. And sometimes throughout history and history books, we don't see those people that were hidden figures that were a part of making this American history, the things that we see every single day are recognized. And so I think it's this is an opportunity for us to be able to see and bring things more to the light that are usually seen in the not really even thought of or even brought to people's attention. And also it's not just to go in the past and unpack our bags and live in there and say, woe is us and all this, but it's an opportunity for us to see how far we've come and then what we can do to be better as a people and just as a culture as well, saying, hey, you do have value. You can overcome your circumstances, no matter what you're born in or what you grew up in. You don't have to become where you're at, because you can look at this person, they had way less resources or things than you did, and they still overcame that. So you can too. You don't have to be a victim of what your circumstances are, because every single person that we usually highlight, they overcame those things and still had that vigor and that fortitude to overcome the trials that were faced before them. So mm-hmm. I find it as something that's inspirational, and it's applicable across all lines, no matter if you're Black, white, or from another country, you can apply those principles and those things that they did to your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with Black History Month, because like I agree with Andrew. Like, I feel like Black history is American history, and we should talk about all of the things that happened throughout the year. I feel like in general, most people don't know their history. So like on that side of things, I'm like, I'm happy that we have a Black History Month, because it's like we're able to get a singular focus on Black achievements, struggles, and like really being able to understand where we've come from and build upon that. But like, those are the reasons why I feel like I have a love and a hate for it, because I feel like throughout the year, like instead of like focusing on, you know, just in February of like Frederick Douglass or some of these other folks who are really important, we could like throughout the year, we'll have like, there should be different times where we focus on that. Like, that's why I really like Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Because it's like one of the only other holidays outside of February where we focus on, you know, the independence from slavery. So it's just kind of a weird spot, because I feel like it's good, but it's also like not very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys feel that way.
Yeah.
But. Well, it's I guess it's not like one of our initiatives for our podcast, right? It's just like kind of normalizing the Black experience. But when we have a set apart month to recognize Black history, it doesn't make it seem like it's a normal thing that we could expect to learn about and basically be fed information like normally throughout. It's just like one specific focal point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll be vulnerable at this time. Like, I'm actually really looking forward to this month of us discussing Black history, because personally, I am not as educated, I feel, as I should be on our history as a Black individual, as I want to be. But I do take an extremely high amount of pride in our Black forefathers and foremothers that went forward, that sacrificed for us to have privileges that we have today. And that's what I take pride in personally, because growing up, you know, in school, that's what we learned. Andrew hit on it big in terms of we learn about these figures, like from Harriet Tubman to Dr. Martin Luther King, who went through very adverse things. And then it shows their journey coming out of it. And we highlight the adversity, and we like celebrate that. Like, we celebrate them coming up through the adversity. But I wonder if that celebration of the adversity is overshadowed by what they actually achieved sometimes, and really the influence that they had in our country and for our people.
Yeah. For me, I also think, like, you know, it's, you know, it's the, I mean, I love like Black history because, like, you know, I feel like it's a way for us, like, as a people to come together. Why, you know, because the people, you know, we were really fighting about equality, you know, and a lot of white people fought for this as well, you know. So it's like a chance for us to come together as a people. I think that's what it is, you know. That's why I say it should be celebrated, like, to, you know, like, it shouldn't be celebrated just 1 month, you know. To me, I just feel like as a people, that was a message that was trying to get across, you know. It wasn't just about mistreating Black people. There's a lot of white people that were, a lot of them, like, being mistreated, you know. So, and I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it used to celebrate, like, where Black history used to be like only a week, where it's because of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln's birthday put together, you know, and they decided to make it a month instead of, you know, just like a week, you know. So I love Black history because with the way I celebrate it, like every time I have my little brothers over, you know, like we watch like a lot of Black movies, like Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, and all, it's like, you know, the bankers and all the stuff, you know, like that's all we watched in that month, you know. I just feel like it's not just for us, to me, you know. And I just feel like sometimes it can portray like Black history is just for Blacks. You know, I don't know if anybody feels like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great transition. I mean, who is Black history for? Yeah. Like, I mean, because like you mentioned, it tends to be where we're just highlighting Black figures. We're talking about what they've contributed to our society. But like, what is it all for that we're recognizing and celebrating? Who is it for, rather?
I think it's for all of us, you know, because like it's what equality is for, you know, like women, whites, you know, people allowed to vote and all that stuff, you know, that comes with it, you know. It you know, and it's just, yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's for all of us, especially for our white brothers and sisters, to for us to come together, kind of like you were saying, Chris. The main point behind some of our ancestors and some of our brothers and sisters that were pushing for civil rights and things like that were equality. They wanted to be treated and they wanted to be seen as equals to our white counterparts. And so I think Black history, people should feel like it's for them as well, you know. And I think as we learn about our history and our ancestry and where we come from, we can then be able to go where we need to go. And I think being one, that's what our Heavenly Father's plan is for us, is to be one regardless of our skin color. But I think Black history is for everybody. And I say that because it's something to learn. from every key figure. Even, you know, I remember growing up in school and only being taught by, taught specific figures. You know, Malcolm X was never mentioned, even though there's really great things that he taught. You know, everyone always consider him as being radical or too extreme to learn from, but there's really great principles that he taught, you know. Another person that people tend to like forget about would have to be Huey Brown, one of the members of the Black Panther Party, you know, who implemented really one of the first programs that brought kids in underserved communities in California free breakfast and programs to help them to learn and things like that. But I think there's something to learn for everybody, honestly. If we're speaking honestly, I think Black history should be for everybody all around the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, and this is just a thought that I had when we talked about the priesthood, right? We said, and I think Andrew spoke about this specifically, where like we wanted to get the priesthood, we got the priesthood, but now what are we doing with that? Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel that with Black history, like people talk about Black History Month and then they forget about it. Yeah. But like when we have this opportunity, we talk about this, do we read history? Do we really focus on doing this? Cause like most of the time when I talk about Black history outside of the podcast or with other people, is like, oh yeah, I learned this in school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I learned this back, you know, 10, however long ago it was, I don't yeah. know, you know, 15 years ago. But do we really take time to read all history, read mm-hmm. other black history throughout the year, history in general throughout the year? And I think that's why another reason why I like Black History Month is because it's like we can take the opportunity to go back and really focus on some of those things.
Yeah.
Because like as an adult, you know, it's hard to be like, okay, I'm going to go study and read this American history book.
Yeah. But yeah, to your point, Maurice, I think that's the part that I hate as well, is that, you know, we just look at it as like, oh, it's just this one month, but yeah. Black history is happening all around us. You know, if we really open our eyes, it's happening. Current events, you know, in the sports world, Notre Dame head coach just won he's the first Black African-American to accomplish, you know, what he did with the Notre Dame team. And so I think if we like are actually, you know, learning and not only just focusing on Black history, we can learn a lot.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's really easy for us to learn a lot of history, but then like we get it here, but it doesn't make its way down here, you know, where like we understand what it is, but we don't know how to apply it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like these people who sacrifice so much, who've done so much for you to get to this place that you're at.
Yeah.
What are you doing with it? How can it inspire you to be a better man or a better woman? And I think that's where it's so important, is that when we learn about these stories that may not have came up as you're growing up, that are the main Rosa Parks and the Dr. Kings and all these other people, if we don't really learn the stories behind them and say, okay, what was this person trying to accomplish and how can we apply it to our own lives? I think that's where the missing link comes from. It's like, okay, we hear about them, we know about them, but how does it apply to me and what can I learn from that? I think that's where the pivot point or that change really happens, is that how can we apply those stories of inspiration and overcoming opposition work for our lives? I mean, we look at that through the scriptures as well, as we look at the saints of old, pioneers in the restoration, they went through trials. What can we learn and be inspired from their story? The same thing is for our Black pioneers in modern history and in the past. How can we apply those stories and learn from them so that we can be able to help the next generation and so on?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point too, because I feel like we need to apply, but I also think people forget to be grateful for what those people were fighting for.
Yeah.
You know, and they like, I'm so grateful that people went through struggles so that we could have the rights that we have. We have the opportunities that we have. And I like, just like when we're reading the scriptures, like I'm so grateful that, you know, Mormon and Moroni sacrificed to get us the plates so that we could have the scriptures. And in that same vein, I'm grateful for Martin Luther King for the things that he did and he pushed in order to help us get, you know, so many things that we needed. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful to, you know, Abraham Lincoln for, you know, being willing to stand up for in front of opposition, you know. And I think that's something that I like, again, I think is really important about Black History Month, is us taking time to appreciate and be grateful for the things that people have done for us.
Yeah. And the reason I say it's like, it's for all of us too, as well, is because like it just goes all the way back the way this country is built too. It goes back to all the way to Judge Washington, you know, and all this stuff that happened in history, what helped founded this country, and for us to have all these rights too, as well, you know, and what Black history means, like, and what it did to this country for us to be where we are today, you know. And I think that's why I say it's for everybody, because it's just, it's about, like, you know, all this stuff that these people achieve and all they worked on. That's why I don't just watch like the history, Black history, when I'm watching my Black history movies and Black history, I also watch like about everything about history, my history as well, you know. And that's when my wife always says, you know, hey, do you think this is why they ended the movie Black Panther in Haiti? Wakanda forever, you know, because the little boy was actually in Haiti, you know, it's because I think it was, they're trying to make it look like it's a symbol of light, because since we were the first Black country to gain independence, you know, so we can all come together like that, you know. So I really love history, you know. I just, that's why I say it's American history, because it's the way it's tied to everything else, you know what I mean?
No, it's great. I mean, shoot, all you brothers hit on some amazing points, and listening to all you guys, it just, for me, it came to how this is for all of us and how we can learn to apply. And if, all right, I want to try to express this as best as I can. Like, because as I was listening to you fellas, I was trying to put everything and wrap it into like, to view it through a spiritual lens. And so I'm thinking, like, if we can take Black History Month, the things that were done by these inspiring individuals, learn from their actions, their struggles and adversities that they went through, and then apply it to, okay, how can I learn from this? The one thing that stuck out to me the most was, and Will hit on it, was becoming one. Like, we have a whole month dedicated to these historical Black figures. We learn their trials, but why did they have to go through those things? Because they were seen differently. When the gospel teaches us that we're all alike in God's eyes, that we need to be, that we need to see each other as brothers and sisters. And to kind of go a little further onto that, how can we make this, like, seeing one another as brothers and sisters, taking Black History Month, taking the struggles and applying it, how can we push this past just one month and make it like an integral part of like our lives or our year? So basically, we've said Black history is American history. So how can we make this American history and just have it be something that we can always look to, not for just one month, and learn from throughout our year and throughout our lives?
I think it's just like to educate our youth about history. I think it's a time for us to like learn about more about history, because we don't really like learn history like we do at, like, you know, like you get, like everybody said, you know, we when you ask somebody about history, they're like, oh, that's one we learned at school. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you.
It's like
edited history.
Yeah. But are we learning? Yeah. Oh, did you say edited history, Will?
Yeah.
Edited. It's like being chopped up.
Yeah.
Certain parts are missing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, because I've had a lot of people, I've asked him, you know, some stuff, even about history. It's not even just about like Black history. A lot of people don't know their own history, you know, and they don't know all the presidents. They don't know all the stuff. I think it's a time for us to actually learn all these things, you know, just kind of sit down and educate our youths. Maybe like some art shows, historical events, you know, things that happen. And I think it's a really time to reflect on American history. That's what I think.
I think it's...
Where does that stem from, though? Like the edited history? Because it's not just in Black history. Like, it's in history in general.
Yeah.
We got a lot of it in church history where it's just like there are things that happen that are not discussed. And so where does that stem from? Like, why are we not telling the whole truth about our history?
I mean, I'm going to go to outside of Black history just a little bit, but like just like the story with Joseph Smith, you see the paintings of him reading the scriptures or reading the gold plates and, you know, when he's transcribing them. But like for a majority of the time that he was translating the scriptures, he was putting his head in a hat with the Urim and Thummim, right?
Yeah.
And that's ugly history, you know, because he wasn't sitting there looking at the plates the whole time. Mm-hmm. They were being, basically it was being given to him from God. And like, just like how that is not the easiest type of history, same goes with like the Black Panther Party, where, you know, people got really scared because they were a group of Black individuals who liked guns, you know, and wanted to use their Second Amendment rights, you know. And I mean, I'm sure there's some other things there too, but it's not easy history.
And a lot of I was just gonna say, a lot of people feel like it's ugly too, because like they feel ashamed for who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a lot of white friends like, hey, like when the teacher puts like the roots in school, you know, it's like, man, he keeps saying like, man, Chris, man, I'm sorry, bro. And I was like, no, man, like this is about us. You know, it's not a time. I don't know how accurate roots was. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just say, you know, it's about all of us, man. Like it's not, a lot of people don't, they say, let's stop, the way we stop racism is just for us to not talk about it, you know. And a lot of people say that, you know, and they say like, oh, let's not stop making those movies where there's like a slaves in there, you know. And I was like, no, this is part of our history. We need to learn this, you know, like this is for all of us, you know. You don't shouldn't feel ashamed of it, because that didn't happen to me. And it happened to my ancestors, you know, but you shouldn't feel ashamed that you're watching this, you know, because like, you know, I'm Black and you white, you know what I mean? That's why I say like, you know, it is ugly, but I feel like a lot of times like we need this, you know? Yeah. So what do you guys think?
I agree with you. And you know, yes, a lot of things may not fit the mold of history, but we have to give grace, I feel like, to one another in terms of give us opportunities to just learn the whole truth. I feel like that's kind of a cop-out when we say, well, it's ugly, so we're not going to talk about it. Give people an opportunity to learn, because it's growth. I mean, you have to allow people to use their judgment to take in information and truth and do what they will with it. I mean, the whole thing about, I mean, Joseph Smith, that was just one way he translated, you know, but there were multiple ways that the Lord used him by faith to translate the Book of Mormon. And so if we're just not going to talk about, you know, the seer stones and how he used the seer stones to translate, we're taking out letting people see how God can work through our lives, you know, and to really see his power. And Yeah, I just feel like, are you trying to protect people or are you just trying to neglect the influence that certain individuals that may not fit the mold of America, whether it be Caucasian or pilgrims or whatever, because there were some great figures out there that were not white, that were black or Native American, that did some great things, right?
Yeah. And that's how we understand each other too. Like, it's how we understand and we respect each other. So if you don't know someone's, if you don't walk in someone's shoes, then you will never understand how, you know, what they it feels, you know, if you don't talk about it, you know, like if you don't, it just kind of put it aside, you know, and stuff. And I just feel like a lot of times, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you know, I don't know, I feel uncomfortable with it, but it just, that's how we understand each other's pain and understand like what history means. And maybe, and that's what Martin Luther King was saying, maybe one day we'll respect each other, you know?
Just to the thought, and I'm going to try to connect this together. So I don't think it's a reach, but I feel like it really kind of puts things in perspective here. So we know that, yeah, history is edited. That's across history, world history. The people who actually lived are the ones who write the history, right? And so when we hear the things, the good, the bad, the ugly about history, it sometimes makes us feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes us see what's really there than what we really want to hear. And everyone, I think that's a natural thing that we want to do, is just hear the things that are acceptable to us or the things that make us feel comfortable. So think about this. If you think about Jesus Christ, we know that he laid down his life for the sins of the world. But the details of what he went through, if you actually look at the history of how they treated people when they gave them lashes and what that does to a man's body and just all the excruciating details of how they treated Jesus Christ when he was preparing to go on the cross. If you actually looked at the details from historical review of how they treated those people and what they did, it will literally turn your stomach. But those are details that we don't really hear in the scriptures. But if you actually look into that, it actually changes your perspective a lot more of what Christ did for us. I mean, everything that was the most important happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. But leading up to the cross, all those physical things that happened to his body and what he went through and breaking his body and bones and things like that, like, it's disgusting. It's uncomfortable. But when you hear about it, it changes your perspective and it puts you in this place of humility of like, he did that for me. He went through that for me. He willingly laid down his life for me. And it makes you more emotional. It makes you more sensitive to how am I going to act differently? How can I change to live worthy to this gift that he's given me? Mm-hmm. And so it makes me, now you put those in perspective of now when we are people who went through problems, who went through things, our family, our ancestors, grandparents, whatever it may be, you learn those stories and those histories. It changes your perspective. It makes you humble. It makes you grateful. It changes you to be more just understanding. It makes you just thankful for every little detail and every little opportunity you have in your life. And you don't want to take those things for granted because those people laid down their life so that you can be where you're at, talking in a platform, being able to walk and go into stores or any place that you want to go without a fear of attack or just of hate. And so it's like, I feel like, yeah, these things, when we don't learn about history, we're usually condemned to repeat it and we don't really learn from it.
That's a great point.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think to add to that, Andrew, I think, we gain a greater appreciation for those people that walked the path that we couldn't walk, especially Jesus Christ, and learning, you know, like I did that a lot. I learned about the different tactics that the Romans used to kill people and how that was and how Jesus Christ went through that for us. And like you said, it made me have that much more love for him and appreciation for what he did for me. And I think that's what we have to do with history and Black history, is we have to read those hard
truce, you know, about our history, our shared history, you know, whether that's talking about slavery, you know, or even talking about some of the civil rights moments where, you know, some of our brothers were being hosed by policemen and being attacked by dogs and things like that. We have to talk about that so that, to Chris' point, so that we don't replicate that today. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that. It's not as bad as it was, but we're seeing little hints of, you know, things that go on in today's society where it's like, oh man, like we're almost like going repeating history. And so I think if we try to hide it, if we avoid it, we'll end up just repeating it. I strongly believe that. And I think by us learning and embracing those hard truths, we can move forward in today's society.
United we stand, man.
Most definitely. People try to use the fact that certain truths in this unedited part of history is not spoken of as a weapon. A lot of times, especially in the church, if there's things that aren't openly discussed, people that are antagonistic towards the church will throw that in our face and be like, oh, they're not telling you this truth, or they're not telling you this happened. And they use it as a weapon. So how about just discussing truths about our history more openly? And it takes away, you know, the grief and the strife that we get from not discussing history, yeah. You know, because they like to take those untold truths and try to weaponize it. And then here, now you have, you know, ammo in the chamber against someone's faith.
Yeah,
right.
Well, and they'll throw it in your face like, oh, did you know?
Exactly.
You know? And they'll use that to shock you and surprise you and make you emotional about things that if you knew them before or presented it to you in the right way, you probably wouldn't have as bad of a reaction. And I feel like the more with more knowledge, you have power.
Yeah.
Right. And if we have all of the history, if we understand, if we know it, we'll be able to have that power instead of letting someone have power over you.
Yeah. And a lot of people just focus on the negativity of it too as well. That's why I say it's not just about slavery. I actually had a talk with like this one by this black dude down in Porvo, you know, and he was focused on all the stuff that happened with slavery and all the stuff that he's like, they did to us. And I was like, I'm big in history, but you do realize there's black people in Africa that actually sold black people, you know, like in ships, you know. It's not about the pain, you know, it's about what they're trying, what we have become as a people, yeah. You know. And he's like, I can see that. I was like, yeah, because like it's a lot of times like we focus on the pain because like that doesn't help anybody, you know, if you just have hate in your heart. The same way with the church, you know, a lot of people say, you know, hey, you know what the church used to do, you know, but you got to focus on the positive too. You know, you can't just say, hey, I'm just going to turn my back against the church because this happened. You know, what about all the good stuff that happened to you that you didn't, that they did for you, you know? So, you know, it's a lot of times, like, you know, a lot of people just like to, there's, you know, a lot of white people or white brothers and sisters died for this too, you know? So they put their life on the line too for the same reason like we did for this. And it's not about the pain that happened, it's the mission, mm-hmm. you know? And it's what they were trying to do for their kids, not even for themselves, you know? And it's what they're trying to do for us, you know, to be there. And like Will said, you know, this is happening again, you know, because like it's like repeating itself, you know, because someone says something and everybody focuses on like the negative energy of it, you know? So, and I think I like what you said, Isaiah, too, you know, because it's like, and yeah, more, you know, because it's like a lot of times, like we just need to focus on the positivity, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Most definitely. I think that was something as a kid, not really understanding my history and kind of struggling with that and not really feeling like I was American and stuff like that. And and just the propaganda that was out there. And then, you know, going to college in Virginia and learning about the history that's there in Virginia and about our founding fathers and having a really good professor who really took the time to open my eyes to that part of history. It really made me want to be more involved. And I think that's where I developed the love for our country, was in college and learning about, you know, our founding fathers and some of the things that they did that, you know, I was against as far as, you know, slavery and stuff like that. But hearing about that, learning that history and how hard that was for me to swallow, it gave me strength and made me want to be that much of a better person. And made me want to even share that history with other people. You know, I'll never forget sending a text to my brother saying, "Hey, bro, did you know this about, you know, Thomas Jefferson?" You know, and him like, "Oh no, I never heard that." You know, and kind of getting everybody engaged and on board. And I think that's what we need to do. We have to be open to hear this history and do our research and internalize it so that we can continue to move forward.
Have you guys seen Mississippi Burning? Man, it's a book about it too. It's about, I think, like, don't quote me on this, but it was like two white kids. They had a black kid in the back seat driving through Mississippi, and they just got back from like a revolutionary thing, you know, and cops pulled up on them and they killed all of them. They killed all three of them, you know, and the FBI went to Mississippi to look for these young kids, you know, and everybody was saying like, "Oh, I hope they find these two kids, the two white kids that were in the front, that were killed in that incident, you know." And then the police officers were saying, "No, I hope they find all of them. There was three kids, you know, one black kid in the back seat, you know, but they both, all three of them fought for the same reason and died for the same reason, you know." And it was just, you guys got to read about it. It burned the whole city down. They shook down the black neighborhoods because they didn't want them to talk, you know, because the KKK owned that city. So they burned houses, businesses. They pushed these people around, the killing and stuff like that. It's actually a very big part of history too, you know. Wow. And not just about, you know, a black movie, actually. It was just actually about what happened too, you know. So, and you guys got to watch it. It's actually a really good movie too. It's called Mississippi Burning. You can read about it too. So it's, yeah.
It's great and it's needed, man. Like, how many people, too, they get offended when they're not told all the truth, you know? You just hit on it. Will hit on it as well. What are some of those? Because there was one thing you really said that really struck me too, was that there were, in this climate, because a lot of these people that were inspirational in that time were, I feel, very progressive and just victims of their time. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I feel like Heavenly Father, he knows his children, and so he's going to put them into a place where they can be the most inspiring in that moment. I mean, so we have figures like who were probably before their time. Joseph Smith's one of those persons we don't talk about a lot, or he's known for. Like in school, they don't talk about Joseph Smith being the figure that he is, right? Being as progressive as he was for slavery in his time. And you know, figures, we mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King again because he was huge in the civil rights movement. Abraham Lincoln, who tried to abolish or did, you know, start the abolition of slavery. Sprinkled in a time where this was a way of life, of viewing people so differently. So what are some of those individuals that may be misrepresented or just untold stories that we're not highlighting, or they're not as highlighted as much, that we should give recognition to? So this may be something we may have to do research on, but you brought up something, because there were a lot of, and it's portrayed in some like movies and shows, that were of individuals that were not black, mm-hmm. that were, they were white brothers or sisters who assisted in the pressing forward of freedom, right? Yeah. For, and for certain individuals. And they were treated just as bad as the slaves or the black persons themselves in that time.
Not if
that, and they, and they were white. Andrew, you look like you gotta say something.
Yeah, I was like, I got one. Actually, I have a personal connection to her. Her name's Joan Mulholland. Actually, I know her. I met her son at Genesis probably like 2 or 3 years ago. But she was one of the Freedom Riders. You guys don't know what the Freedom Riders are. It was these people who went on the buses and they went throughout Mississippi and they would go to sit-ins. And she was really, really one of the most popular ones because she went down in the heart of Mississippi and went into the sit-ins where obviously they didn't want blacks to sit there. And she sat with them. So she got disowned by her family. The Ku Klux Klan was hunting her down and she still stood there.
Wow.
They threw glass bottles at her head, broke bottles over her head, burned her with cigarettes, and she didn't move.
Yeah. Wow.
And she went to jail for it. Nearly was killed in jail just because of it. And a lot of other things she went through. But her son is a member of church. I don't know if she's a member of the church now or not, but she lives out in Virginia. And I was able to meet her and just hear her story because of my family history story and all that stuff. But these are people that, you know, literally mourned with those who mourned and sat with those who were not comforted, you know, and she literally put her life on the line just to show an example that we are all the same. We can be able to be with one another and get through these trials together and prove a point that men and women of all colors and all backgrounds are the same. And so her story, being able to hear it from her lips and tell me her experiences and the things that she's reached and met, and then to tell her, for her to tell me that my family's story is inspiring to her, that was just like this whole humbling, just full circle round thing. And yeah, it's just for a person like that, you know, it's symbolic of no matter what race or creed or any background you come from, you can still support those people who may be different than you, but if you see them suffering, you are willing to be there and lift those arms that hang down.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if we talked about stories like that more often in Black History Month, that would change
the stigma about it?
Yeah, the stigma about Black history. If we shared more, or if those type of things were highlighted more, or do you think our community would be like, oh, now they're just trying to detract from our people, you know, sharing stories like that about someone who wasn't black during Black History Month?
Yeah.
Because for me, I feel like that can be very uniting, like sharing stories like that about how there were people fighting for our people in our community that weren't black.
Yeah.
I feel like there's definitely those type of people who are going to be like, we only talk about people who have our skin color. I think Dr. Umar is one of those guys.
I was about to say that, bro.
And the thing is about it too, like that's how they divide themselves too. You know, I think it's a great idea because, like, you know, people don't talk about, like you said, there's a lot of leaders that they don't talk about. You know, I was gonna say like it's Baldwin. I don't know all of them by heart, but like there's some the people that created NAACP. You know, Wells, you know, like all these people, you know, so it's, I think it should all be bringing up. I think it's just all, sometimes like it's focused only a few leaders, you know, and I think that's why it is. So they keep that pain. And a lot of people like that, you know, people like to hold on to pain, you know, and like you said, they're going to be some people in the comments. They're going to be like, ah, no, what are these guys talking about, man? We need to focus on this and make this about this and this with all this. You know, no, it's not just about that. It's about how we become as a people, you know?
Exactly.
If you're going to keep doing that, then it's just going to stay the same.
Yeah, it's got to have something that unites people and not divides.
Right.
And so there's so many people who are part of
history.
Of history, yes, but like helping and helping, you know, Black Americans, Black people in the United States and all over the world to become free and be able to do the things that they want to do. there are so many people who are important to that who aren't just black.
Mm. Yep.
And I think it's important for everybody to hear those stories. And so they can say, hey, it wasn't just like all white people are bad. Yeah. All yeah, black people yeah, are good. Exactly. Like they're,
cause
life isn't so black and white.
Yeah. You know, cause people don't notice there's Native Americans that fought for black history.
Yeah.
There's people, there's like, you know, there's a lot of like, there's Native American, there's white people like that. They got treated worse. You yeah. know, sometimes some of them got treated way worse than what we, you know what I mean? I'm not saying like, you know, with slavery and stuff like that, but I'm just saying, you know, with, they got a lot Rides of bad things happened to them yeah. because of what they stood for, mm-hmm. you know?
And all white people weren't horrible towards Native Americans, which yep. is usually portrayed that they just came in, colonized, kicked them yeah. all out. But no, it wasn't like that. I feel like it takes the issue off of race and yeah. it puts it on just morality and how we should be towards one another. Again, just going back to Heavenly Father's plan for us to be united, you know, yeah. and see one another like.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what's central to this whole plan, this whole conversation is that I think the end goal of this conversation is to obviously inform everybody, but ultimately be able to realize that These are things that are part of our covenants to help those and mourn with those who mourn and be able to be one and support each other and love one another and become better sons and daughters of God until that day we're all in the unity of the faith and the unity of mind. And I think when we learn about each other, gain more respect for one another, that's ultimately what is going to make us become the people, the sons and daughters that Heavenly Father wants us to be.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I had like a like, you know, I had a conversation with like people, some black people saying like to me, they saying like, hey, I had one of them told me like I wasn't really black, you know. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, what do you mean by that, man? Like, he's like, no, that's not what I meant, you know. Like, he's like, a lot of Haitian people. And I was like, man, I don't think you know anything about history. It's like when you say stuff like that, and when someone passed by and called me the N-word driving by, am I supposed to run after the car and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not black, bro, you know? Like, and then I had to kind of like educate him in a way. That's why I said, like, we need to educate our youth. And I had to tell him like all the stuff that we did, like, you know, Haitians, like we fought for this country, man. My ancestors are from Congo, you know? You know, so that's why I'm like, sometimes like, people don't know their history, so they just focus on the pain of what they know or what the people tell them, you know. And I like what you said, Andrew, you know, because we got to come together, you know, and it's not just for us. It's just for everybody, you know. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had one more question for everybody. I had someone say this. Me and this guy are no longer friends, but long story short, he was like, Black history is a woke holiday, you know, and so I took the time to kind of like educate them about what the word woke means, mm-hmm. and how the word woke was actually a word that civil rights leaders would use during that time to kind of like highlight social injustices and systematic racism. So like the way the word woke is being used today is incorrectly. The word woke means something completely different. It means, are you aware of what's going on in your neighborhood? Are you aware of the systematic racism and things like that? But anyways, so this guy was like, why are you guys celebrating this woke holiday, basically, you know? How would you guys address that if someone asks you that? Or why do black people celebrate Black History Month?
Yeah, I would set him down for like an hour. Educate this dude. What? Because I would have to go all the way back to George Washington with him, you know, because like, that's, you can't, because this is not a simple answer for it, you know what I mean? And it's about education, you know. It's about what we know. It's about what he should know, you know, why he's here, you know, why you're able to do what you need to do. I was like, sure, you could be black.
True.
I think there's been, I think over the years, there's kind of been this, maybe it's just on the internet, and there's some ignorance as well from even our own people, where we create this inferior superiority.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what's the word? Comparison about, yes, we are good. We done this. We overcame this. And because of y'all, and it's became this pointing fingers thing, and it's your fault and stuff like that. And it's just become this really negative connotation where people, like the guy you were talking about, Will, he thinks it's this negative thing, but it shouldn't be. It mm-hmm. should be something that everyone should be inspired by and learn from and grow from. And I think that, yeah, when you say woke, that's become a trigger word these days. When people hear that word, has this negative connotation, but it's like, you can be more of awake in things that are going around in your own political sphere, things that are going on in your own home. You could be asleep in the things that are going on in your own marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to be awake.
Awake and arise.
Yeah, I was
right. Rise from the dust. You know, and so there's these things that this goes on a spiritual level as well. But it's like all of us need to be able to realize that when you see things for what they really are, and you know, you're aware, you're seeing your surroundings, it doesn't always have to be from a negative aspect. It can be about being able to see how far we've come as a people and how far we've come as a church as well. I mean, some people are asleep in church history or asleep in the gospel. Are you aware of your awful situation?
Sleeping through the restoration.
Sleeping through the restoration.
You know? Preserved. Or
and so it's so important for us to open our eyes and wake up to what's going on around us, but also to learn back from those people who've already trailblazed the path before us, so we can learn. I mean, think about your own pioneer history. That person, whoever he is, he may be from Utah, maybe not, but your own ancestors, you do your family history and look back at these stories, you celebrate those people because you're like, man, this is where I came from. This is something that I've learned from. And unfortunately, a lot of us, from historical wise, we don't have a lot of that to look back on. We don't have a lot of records and stuff to see of where our family came from or what they've become. But luckily some of us are starting to be able to do that more as we keep those stories alive. This is what history is for, so that we can learn and be able to share these stories with our families, our kids, and our legacies. And all of us here are literally Black history. We're walking every single day. Every time we record an episode here, people are being inspired. It's changing the perspective about us, changing the perspective about the church. We are trying to just help people be inspired and learn and grow, so they can be able to inspire the next generation. I think that's just simple as it is.
Amen.
From that person's perspective, like, I think in some ways, like in the political sphere, everything is positive, negative. There's everything seen from such a black and white perspective that, like, from some people's perspective, and I've had conversations with people who think this way as well, it's like, it's always like Black history is just slavery history, if that makes sense. And so it's always comes from a negative point of view, and a negative point of view where it's like, you're the problem and we're the, like, good guys versus bad guys. And I think it's kind of sad that it's, some people feel that it's, that is the purpose of Black History Month, when it really isn't. It's like how we were talking about how it's, we should have stories and be listening to stories from everybody who was influential and tried to make change happen. And in some ways, I'm sure some people need to clean up their feeds. And it's all become very negative. But if you, like, again, if we read history, if we listen to stories from everybody's point of view and really get down to why it's important, and looking at, you know, both the positive and the negative, we can come back with this is something that we all need to know, and we can all learn and grow. And when we look at history, we can see what not to repeat and how we can, you know, grow and not just focus on the negative.
Most definitely. Thank you for that. Well, thank you, fellas. I am super grateful for you guys. This has been an awesome episode. I have learned a lot. My my mindset and my perception about Black history has been changed just from this 1 hour we've been together. So thank you, fellas, for everything that you've shared. We want to thank our audience as well. Thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Brothers in the Foyer. Please, if this has been inspiring to you, we would love and appreciate your support. Please like and subscribe to our channel. We are on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. That way you can get short forms and clips of reels of our inspiring discussion today. Yeah. Also, if you would like to donate and support to our cause to bring you guys more light, you feel free. We will put a link in our description on our YouTube channel that will take you straight there to be able to support us. Thank you all again. We are our brother's keepers, and stay perceptive and pray. Inviting all to come and try.